You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The Bible has some hard words about misusing the name of God. Misusing the name of God is profanity against God Himself.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, keep your name holy among us. Give us grace to see you in your holiness and to accept your gracious forgiveness for the sake of your Son, Jesus. Help us to live with faith and love that are fixed on your grace and filled with your power, that we may do your will, O God, and may glorify your name and the name of Jesus, in which we offer to you our prayer. Amen. There are some hard words in the Bible about misuse of the very name of God. The Bible calls that profaning the name of God. Misusing the name of God is profanity against God Himself. A lot of people are upset about the gradual but general spread of profanity these days. Four-letter words erupt from children's mouths as much these days as they do from the mouths of proverbial seasoned sailors. Television and movie screens have been liberated, we are told, so that people can use profanity without being criticized for it. Blasphemous sounds that a generation ago were reserved for barnyard brawls or tavern disputes can be heard almost every day from people, both young and old, who think that those sounds make them look tough or manly or even womanly, as some women seem to want to be known these days. Nobody with an intelligent vocabulary needs to use profanity in order to express his thoughts. More often than not, profanity is a sign of weakness rather than strength, of insecurity rather than of manliness, and of distraction rather than of manly or womanly composure. Poverty of character or even paucity of adjectives is no excuse for the kind of vulgar profanity that dishonors the name of God. Distasteful and offensive as such profane language may be, there are serious and devastating kinds of profanity other than the gutter language or foul talk that you sometimes hear. You might call it pious profanity, the kind Jesus was talking about in the 7th chapter of Matthew. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but rather he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not testify in your name? And did we not throw out devils in your name? And how many wonderful works we did in your name? And then I will have to say to them, you have never known me. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. That's strong language for the kind of pious profanity that you hear all the time. It's a respectable kind of profanity, using the jargon which really takes the name of the Lord in vain, although it is full of language and terms which sound holy and religious. Pious profanity feeds on self-pride and it proclaims self-righteousness, trading on religion at somebody else's expense. Taking the name of the Lord in vain is not taken lightly by the Lord himself. The second commandment is still the word of God. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. It has not been rewritten for contemporary society. Profaning the name of God is still a sin and still earns the wrath of God. It still causes distress among people and still corrupts life wherever it appears. Jesus Christ was not simply giving the commandment a new twist. He's telling us what it really means. Misusing the name of God, even in the name of piety, is profaning the name of God. I wish I could tell you how many people I've met who have been turned off on God by pious language that really profanes the name of God. Here at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said to people whose pious profanity covers up the true and good word of God with their own pious pretense, covering up their lack of real faith in God, I never knew you. Get out of my way and out of my sight, you profane workers of iniquity. Jesus Christ was not talking about genuine faith in God, even though it may be weak. He was talking about religion, which has often been used to clothe what is really profane. Religion, with all of its trappings and without faith in God, can easily become a cloak of respectability, cheapening and even defying that which is holy. Take, for example, the blackout of New York City and its surroundings some years ago, which was attributed in an official news release to an act of God. Eventually, it turned out to be purely and simply an act of man. Whatever the motivation, even if it was an attempt to avoid a rash of lawsuits from inconvenienced people, the language of that news release was a prime example of pious profanity. It is profane to suggest that every tragedy and every disaster is due to the will of God. A madman murders dozens of boys and young men in the suburbs of a great city, and someone piously says it was the will of God. An elderly woman is robbed and beaten by a gang of thugs, and pious sympathizers suggest to her that it is the will of God. A child is run over by a speeding car with a drunken driver at the wheel, and the shattered parents are confronted by some pious profanity. It is the will of God. These piously profane conclusions, laying the evil in the world at God's feet, making God responsible, is nothing short of blasphemy. It is profanity of the worst kind. Pious profanity. The Lord had something to say about that kind of stuff. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Can you think about times when you've heard people identify their own ambitions with the will of God, as though God himself were justifying their I can do no wrong attitude? People get to be past masters building a veneer of piety around their selfish and self-centered acts and aspirations. They blame their own twisted prejudices on God. They identify their own idols with God. Jesus Christ gave no encouragement to that kind of stuff. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Pious profanity can even be silent profanity. There are times to be silent. And there are other times to speak. Simon Peter sat around that fire on the evening before the Lord's crucifixion, completely silent. Someone asked him whether he was not one of Christ's men, and he replied, no, you have the wrong man. When someone else suggested that he spoke the same kind of language as the followers of the Lord, he replied with vehemence, no, it's a case of mistaken identity. When someone else suggested that he'd been seen in the company of the Lord, he began to use real profanity, which he probably learned as a professional fisherman. And he said, I never met the man in my whole lifetime. Wherever sinners are turned away with the pious profanity of silence, telling them firmly to look somewhere else for assistance, the word of God comes true. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said you cannot always judge a person by his language. Even a bad man can use pious words. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Judas addressed Jesus as Master at the very moment when he was about to betray him. Anyone can use pious and even reverent language. But said the Lord, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. but rather everyone who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. He said the same thing on many occasions. Blessed is he who hears the word of God and keeps it. There's no substitute for doing the will of God. Anything else is a form of pious profanity. Jesus was always talking not about religion, but about faith in God. People once asked him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus answered, this is the work of God. This is God's will for you, that you believe in him whom God has sent. Another time the Lord said, you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am he, the Messiah, the deliverer sent by God. A true believer, no matter what the form of his piety, takes God at his word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. A follower of Christ and a believer in God has confidence that Jesus is the Savior of the world, sent by God himself, and trusts in Jesus for what can be described only as eternal life. I've heard people take the name of Jesus and toss it around like a worn-out tool that just missed the tool chest into which it was being thrown. They make a big mistake, and immediately the name of Jesus comes to their lips. It's not a reverent use of his name, intending to call upon him for help. It's an expression of disgust that should have been directed somewhere else, but instead it is laid at the door of Jesus. That's not piety. It certainly is profanity. It profanes the name of God. Jesus is the name of God. You probably noticed, as I have, the same thing happens in the reverse direction. People who ought to be mentioning the name of Jesus do not. When people ought to be telling the good word of God in Jesus Christ, they do not. It's just as if they never believed in him, even though they claim to believe in him. If others are not ashamed to use the name of Christ profanely, why should his followers be ashamed to use his name to bring to the world the only good news our world will ever have? God's will for you is that you believe in his Son as the Savior you need. There will be a day of judgment when profanity will get its due, and so will pious profanity that dishonors the name of God and of Jesus Christ, whom he has sent to be the Savior of the world. There are two sides to every coin. You might say the atonement of Jesus Christ for the sins of the world is a deposit God has put into the bank for you, making good for your sins and making up all the things you failed to do. It's God's grace that he's put that deposit into the bank for you. You draw on that deposit and you receive the forgiveness of God. It's the coinage of the realm, the kingdom of God. On the one side of that coin is faith, and on the other side of that coin is love. You can't have one without the other. Faith expresses itself in real love. That's the will of God. Jesus put it bluntly. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day of judgment, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And did we not throw out devils in your name? And what marvelous works we performed in your name? And then Jesus assures the people who heard him speak at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, I will have to say to you, I never knew you. On your way, which you've been going, you're not going my way, you workers of iniquity. Prophecy in the name of Jesus Christ without love is pious profanity. Casting out demons in the name of Christ without love is pious profanity. Doing wonderful works in the name of Christ without love is pious profanity. It's a hard word, but it comes from the Lord himself. I never knew you. Nothing can take the place of faith in Christ. Faith in Christ enables people to love when love seems impossible. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, if you love only those who love you, you are no better than others. If you are kind to those who treat you with kindness, you are no different from the crooks who do that for their cronies. Through faith in Jesus Christ, you become members of the family of the Heavenly Father. If you love God, you love one another. The grace of God produces faith, and faith produces love. The acid test of faith is love. Jesus himself said, by this all men shall know that you are my disciples, If you have love for one another, admirable as the works may be, without love, they are not following the will of the Father who is in heaven. This calls for love of a high order, love for God. It's like the love of Christ himself, who stopped at nothing to save the world with his own death. His power by resurrection from the dead has no limits in carrying out that purpose in the world. Put quite simply, this is what it means to be a Christian: to accept the forgiveness of God by faith in Jesus Christ, and to express love for God by showing love to one another in accordance with the great commandment. Without faith and love, the highest proclamation becomes the lowest form of profanity. Faith and love toward God and toward Jesus Christ, whom he has sent, are the secret. The highest proclamation is repentant recognition of God and faith in Jesus Christ. Faith and love that are in Christ Jesus become the highest proclamation of the freest grace and the greatest good that anyone could possibly have. Christ himself is Lord. Have faith in him, that he is the Savior of the world. With love toward him, your own personal Savior, come into his presence, not only saying, Lord, Lord, but doing the will of your Father who is in heaven. That's not just religion, my friend. By God's grace and in the love of Jesus, it is life, life eternal. Amen.